Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Let your beaming face shine upon us with the rays of glory, with your sunrise of glory. Then nothing will be able to stop us. Powerful scripture. Do you know, God is looking for a response from us this year. He's looking for a retort from us that simply says, God, will you revive me? God, will you revive me? Will you do something fresh in my life? Will you begin to shape me? Will you begin to mold me? Will you begin to hit on those areas of my life that you are wanting to shift? This is the whole sentiment behind the concept of revival. So I want to continue on that vein this morning. I want to continue on the premise of us being revived as individuals, but also being revived as the body of Christ, that we will take ground for the kingdom, that we will step into the promises that he has for us. Amen. You know, to shift our faith, to shift our vision and say, Lord, I will put your focus first in my life. And as I do that, would you revive me? So the title of my sermon this morning is this: check your coat. It's time to check your coat. You know, we come upon this passage in the book of Mark, and it's the story around the blind man Bartimaeus. We're going to read that this morning, and I'd love for you to stand. Let's stand as we read the Word of God this morning. It's going to come up on the screen, and it says this: Then they reached Jericho, and Jesus and his disciples left the town. A large crowd followed him. A blind man named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted even louder. I'm not going to shout even louder, is that okay? Yeah. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and he said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. Rabbi, the blind man said, that I might see. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has healed you. And instantly the man can see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Such a powerful, powerful passage of scripture. Please take your seats this morning. You know, Jesus is passing through Jericho, and if you know your geography around Israel, this was the last town that Jesus was to go through on his way to Jerusalem. We're about a week out of Palm Sunday, which we will be celebrating on the 28th of March this year. We're about a week out of Jesus having his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where Palm Sunday occurs. Hosanna to the King of Kings. And he's passing through this town of Jericho. And the city of, this is actually the last noted performed miracle in the book of Mark that actually occurs in this season. And it's actually the only one of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where the name of the individual is actually mentioned. In fact, Mark rarely speaks the name of the people that actually Jesus performs miracles on. When you look through the book of Mark, he often refers to a man, a woman. He doesn't name them. But in this circumstance, he actually names the man Bartimaeus. You see, for Bartimaeus, this day would have started out like any other day. He would have woken up. He would have maybe had some breakfast. He would have got himself ready. He would have put his coat on, the same coat that he'd worn for the last potentially 30, 40 years, because it says he was a man. So we know traditionally that Bartimaeus would have been a man to society's standards. And he would have accepted any sort of assistance or help that he might have needed in that moment. And he would have gone and sat outside the gate at the walls of Jericho in the same spot that he'd sat in week after week, month after month, year after year, the same spot, got his coat ready, because the coat was significant. It told him who he was, and he ready to receive the alms as the people passed him by, ready to receive any charity. A coat that he wore that spoke a very distinct message to the world around him. If you wore that coat, people knew you were a beggar. People knew that that was the very signature that was placed upon him as an individual. There goes the beggar, Bartimaeus. There goes that guy who's been sitting by the gate all these years. I've seen him. I know him. He's a beggar. That coat and the crowd, that's all they see. All they see upon him is this coat. And they know, and they typecast him, and they marginalize him, and that is all he will ever be. That's the way the crowd sees him. But this day was different. Today was a different day. Today would be the day that he would encounter Jesus. Today would be the day when a revival would take place in the life of Bartimaeus. Today was the day that his encounter with Jesus would revive in him a new destiny, a new purpose, a new plan, a new vision that until now would seem absolutely impossible for it to occur. Today was the first of many to come where no longer would they be able to say, there goes that blind man, there goes that beggar, because today was the day he had his encounter with Jesus. And it was his act of faith as he cast aside his coat that set him on a new trajectory and a new life and a new purpose in Jesus. His life was transformed. He got new vision. He had a new purpose was birthed in his heart. A new understanding. A new life was set in place by a simple act of faith as Jesus walked by the road. No longer would it be defined by the outward appearance, but now he would be defined by the inward transformation that had taken place in his life. He could not just see naturally, he could see in the supernatural from that day. His identity, his purpose, his social status, his security, everything radically transformed in a momentary encounter with Jesus Christ. It was an act of faith to check his coat at the door and say, my life is going to change. So here's the question. Is there a coat that you're wearing that you don't need anymore? Is there something in your life that you know that you've been holding on to and carrying around? You know you've got that coat that just seems to grip and hang on to your life. Is there something that's stopping you from fulfilling your life? Is there the coat that you've been hanging on to, or maybe the one that you've just picked up? You go, I kind of need that. You see, Bartimaeus understood what it was to leave that behind. If we're honest, we all carry coats. We all carry these things, these burdens. And you know, for Bartimaeus, this would have represented so many things. Doubt, despair, past hurts and insults, security. You see, that was his security. That was his income. His identity, albeit downcast and marginalized, but that was his identity. For so many years, all of these thoughts going through his mind, keeping him bound to the same spot that he would sit down week after week, month after month, year after year, and everyone would look at him and say, there goes that beggar. Because he carried the coat. So what are the coats that we wear in our lives? There's so many of them. I could give you a list as long as your arm, but I've just got a few that I want to touch on this morning. And I pray that we gather some insight into what Jesus is actually saying to us as a church. How about the coat of anxiety? If I cast this coat off, what's my world going to look like? I'm not sure what I do if I get rid of that. I don't know any other way. You see, I've worn this coat for all these years. If I get rid of this, people won't recognize me. They won't know who I am. If I don't hang on to the very thing that I've trusted all these years, anxiety is going to step in. Fear is going to creep in. I'm not sure that I can actually go down this road. The coat of anxiety. I just can't go through. How will I survive without my coat? How will I get through the day-to-day? You see, we try and nut out our future. We try and work it out because we actually want to stay in control of everything. But see, the reality is we've lost control. We've actually lost control. And if we were honest, we long for the opportunity for someone else to actually take control of our lives and give us purpose and give us direction. I need to know where I'm going. But if I need to know where I'm going, I have to carry it with me. Yes, Jesus, I want to follow you, but can I bring my coat too? Can I bring my coat too? No. Jesus says, check your coat. You don't need that. We do everything in our power, try to maintain control, but deep down we realize we have actually completely lost control. Fear creeps in. Can I be honest with you? This has been a journey that I've been on. You know, when I first sat down with Pastor Ken and he said, you know what, we want to plant a church in Scarborough and we want you guys to be the campus pastors, I got to tell you, some anxiety stepped in, some fear. But I've got this really nice secure income in the secular world. I life's actually okay. I can control things right now. If I step into that, I don't know where it's going to go. And all this fear and anxiety starts creeping in and you start to think, can I do this? But then I lose control. But God's saying, no, I've got this. Will you just put faith in me? Will you just step into the promise that I've got for you? See, we're not supposed to live in anxiety. We're supposed to live in freedom. And the freedom that comes when we step into the purpose and the plan that Jesus has for us. I needed to cast off the coat of anxiety and say, I put my faith in Jesus. I trust you no matter the circumstances. But Lord, it doesn't make sense. I need to hang on to this because I, you know, life's pretty good. I can control this. No, it's time to cast off the coat. It's time to put it aside. See, we don't need to live in fear. We don't need to live in anxiety. We need to live in freedom. What about this coat? The coat of familiarity. Haven't we all worn the coat of familiarity? We've all gone down that road. Is it possible that we've become so content with where we're at? We know it's not God's best for us, but you know what? It's okay. I'll settle for second best, third best, maybe even fourth best. But it's familiar. I know what's going on. I can deal with familiar. I can deal with what I know. We've become familiar in our relationships. I know that that person's not good for me, but it's what I know. It's kind of okay. See, this familiarity creeps in and we start to settle for what is not God's perfect plan for our lives. We settle for second best. What about when it comes to worship? Come to church, one, maybe two fast songs, three softies. We go home. I've done my worship for the week. I don't need any more. We get familiar with worship. Monday. No, come on. I did my worship on Sunday. I don't need to deal with it Monday. Tuesday comes, and we get to Saturday, and it's like, I'm dry, I'm finished, but we're familiar, we're okay with that, because we made a decision that I'll just deal with worship on a Sunday. It's easy that way. What about in our obedience, or should I say partial obedience? Sure, but it's got to be on my terms. I'm okay, yeah, we can deal with this, but the familiarity just says it's on my terms. I can step into that, but see, God, you got to understand, it's got to be my way. Here's the problem. It doesn't work when it's my way because God's ways are different to my ways. See, for Bartimaeus, he'd been sitting in the same seat, wearing the same jacket, for all these years. Do you think he'd gotten familiar with his spot in life? Do you think he'd gotten okay of settling for second best? Sitting there day after day, week after week, as the crowd would go past and just say, huh, yeah, there's that guy. He's the beggar. Don't worry about him. He'll get some money tomorrow. Can you imagine the scorn? But he'd become familiar with it. He knew what it was like to sit there year in, year out. He knew what familiarity looked like because he was carrying the coat of familiarity. But he was prepared to leave the coat behind. Bartimaeus understood. He knew that by stepping out of that familiarity, he was stepping into absolute unknown. Where could this go? I don't know. Where could Jesus take me? I'm not sure. But you know what? I'm sick of wearing that coat. I'm sick of familiarity. I'm sick of anxiety. I'm sick of the insults and the hurt and the pain. It's time to cast off the coat. There's another coat that's very similar to familiarity, but it's somewhat distinct, and it's this one. It's the coat of comfort. You see, maybe we're not anxious. Maybe things aren't all that familiar, but you found yourself in a place where, you know what? I'm pretty comfy. It's quite cool. You know, I'm pretty comfy right now, and you know, when you start preaching like this, you kind of get me uncomfortable, so just back off. Do you know, I saw your advertisement about conference. That looks pretty cool, but, you know, I got a holiday planned at that time. So, you know, if it's all the same with you, I'll just go on the holiday. I'm comfy right now. What, you want me to lead a Connect group? Hey, that's interrupting my night. Now, I'm comfy right now. I'm happy with just dealing with what I'm dealing with. What? You want me to give to building our future? But that's my savings. That means I can't spend it on my hobbies. I'm going to go there. Yeah, we've become comfy. We've allowed the creature comforts to step in rather than the God comforts that he brings when he sets our life on the trajectory that it's supposed to be. See, we sit there in these moments and it's just like, hey, come on, preacher, back off. You're not supposed to be preaching like that. You're not supposed to hit on those sections because I'm comfy right now. Why would I make a meal for my neighbor over the road? That's taking me out of my comfort zone. Oh, here's a good one. Why would I tell my fellow worker that I'm a Christian? Our relationship is pretty good right now. I don't want to rock the boat. If we rock the boat, I get uncomfortable. Do we really want to sit in this place of indecision, or do we want to sit in comfort? The place of indecision, the place of, God, I'm not sure where you're going to take me, but it sounds exciting. Or we go back to the coat and we sit there and we put it on day in, day out because we're comfy. We're happy with where we've been sitting. I've been wearing this coat all my life, and if I take it off, I'm not sure where it's going to go. God's saying, come on, check your coat at the door. It's time to step into the promise. So even in preparing this message, I've got to tell you, if you ask my wife, this has been an anxious moment. This has taken me out of my comfort zone. I'll be honest with you and say, I thought I had this all prepared on Wednesday or Thursday, and 9:10 this morning, I put the final pieces together. And I'm not saying I wasn't prepared. She said, I've got to listen to what the voice of God's saying. When God says, are you going to sit in comfort, or are you going to sit in faith where God wants you to be? See, the truth be told, this is how we cope, right? We've learned to be comfortable with the coats that we wear, that you are the master of your destiny. I've got this all worked out. You see, don't let anyone else tell you otherwise because you're in control. You've got it all sorted. See, that's what society tells you. Just be comfy. Don't worry about what the church says because that's going to get you out of your comfort zone. That's going to produce anxiety. No. It's going to take away anxiety. See, if blind Bartimaeus had have listened to the crowd in that moment, be quiet. Don't bother Jesus. Sit down. Find your place. Know your place. You're a beggar. You'll always be a beggar. Do not open your gob. That's what society tells you. It tells you Jesus doesn't want to listen to you. Jesus doesn't have a place for you. But Jesus says, don't listen to the crowd. Shout the louder, because I've got a purpose and a plan for you. Stop fooling yourself, Bartimaeus. He's not going to listen to you. No. You know what? I'm going to shout louder, and I'm going to throw this thing off, and I'm going to run to the feet of Jesus. So what did he do? See, he called out. Better still, he shouted out. He refused to let the crowd tell him that there was no hope, that there was no purpose, that there was no vision, that there was no destiny in his life. He refused to allow his circumstance be defined by a coat, but rather by God's transformative power in his life. He said, revive me. God, will you please change me? I've been sitting on this chair for 34 years. I've had enough, God. I need my life to change. Would you revive me? He said, I am going to step into the promises that you've got for me, and I'm not going to let the crowd silence me. That's what Bartimaeus did. In fact, do you know what? If I'm honest, and I'm sure this went through his mind, I'm a little scared. I'm not sure how this is going to turn out, but you know what? It's got to be better than this life. It's got to be better than this life. This life's had me bound for 30, 40 years. Come on, I want to step into a new day. I want to step into a promise. I don't know what it looks like, but I know that if I step out in faith, Jesus has got it for me. You see, Bartimaeus had a revelation of who Jesus was. How do we know that? When we look at verses 47 through 48 of this passage, there were some very distinct words that Bartimaeus said. And the understanding and the revelation that he had only been revealed in the Gospel of Mark one other time. He had a revelation that is astounding for someone who was a blind man who sat by a gate for 30, 40 years. And this was his first real encounter with who Jesus was. He heard Jesus of Nazareth was coming by. That was what everyone knew him as, Jesus of Nazareth. He came from Nazareth. They knew that this was the guy who was going around doing some funny stuff. He was doing some interesting things. But he understood his next words to mean so much more when he says this, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. You see, when he yelled the words, Son of David, he was declaring to Samuel chapter 7, that he is a king and of Davidic lineage. He is of the line of David, that he is a king in coming. He is a king in waiting, ready for his throne. And it says in 2 Samuel 7 that his kingdom will last forever. Not only that, when he said Jesus, Son of David, it actually has messianic overtones that actually state, and he understands that this is the coming Messiah who has come to save the world. He understood, he had a revelation of who Jesus was. I got to tell you, man, we need a revelation of who Jesus is. We need a revelation that he's not just Jesus of Nazareth, this is the Son of God. He's the Messiah who's come to change the world. Bartimaeus understood that, and he declared and he shouted, I will not be silenced because the Messiah is in my presence. The Messiah has come through. That's the revelation we need. This is what will enable you to cast the coat off. This is what enables you to put it aside and say, I will not stand for what's been. I will step into what is. I need to cast off the coat, but I need the revelation of who Jesus is. The Messiah, the one who came to save the world. The crowd was never going to silence him that day. The crowd was never going to stop him. His Messiah was about to have mercy on his soul. His Messiah was about to change him. See this coat, the one that defined him, the one that said you're downtrodden, that you're outcast, that you're marginalized, that coat must bow to the name that is above every name, and that is Jesus Christ, because he understood that he was the Messiah. And this is the step that Jesus is calling us to. It's time to put the coat down. It's time to check it at the door, because the coat has to bow to the name of Jesus. To leave it on the road, to run to the Messiah. We can't have one hand on Jesus and one hand on the coat. We can't be thinking and going dragging and going, I'll just, you know what, it's going to be a hard road, but I'll drag this chair with me. I can do it. You know, I. No. It's time to push that coat down. Push that coat aside. You don't need it anymore. All you need is Jesus. Bartimaeus never had to go back to that spot ever again. His life was transformed from that moment onwards. He never sat in that chair again. He never put that coat on again. His life changed because the word said Jesus told him to go. And what did he do? He followed him. His life changed. He never went back to pick up that coat ever again. But the second thing that Bartimaeus understood is this. He had a revelation of who he is. What do I mean? Verse 46 says this. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. As I said to you right at the beginning, Mark only mentions two names of people who have received their miracle in his Gospels. But what's really unique about the mentioning of Bartimaeus in this is he actually says his name twice. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. The first inference is in Greek. Greek, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, Hebrew. Which is actually really odd again, because when you look at the way that scripture was structured, they would always, when speaking to the Jews, mention Hebrew first and Greek second. Why? Because Bartimaeus, when you look at the meaning of his name in Greek, states son of honor. Bartimaeus knew that the coat he was wearing did not define the name that he was given when he was born. He was called to be a son of honor. And when he encountered Jesus, he understood that it was time to throw that coat off, the thing that defined him all those years. And I know that my place is in honor with the King. He was restoring him to his initial purpose, to his initial power, to the very thing that God had called him when he was birthed. He knew him right from conception. He knew who Bartimaeus was, and he was calling out that son of honor right there and then. He had a revelation that he was not destined to wear a coat. He was destined to be in the kingdom with his Savior. You see, when Jesus came through that day, a revelation of the name that was given, it would have sat there resounding going, I know my name. I'm a son of honor. He can change me. He can change my path. He can set me on a path of victory. You see, here's the end cap on the whole understanding of revelation. You were never designed to wear the coats of bondage, but there is one coat that you are designed to wear. When you go to Jesus, my Bible tells me that he gives you a coat of salvation and a coat of righteousness. That's the only coat that you were designed to wear. Listen to this. But you are God's chosen treasure. Priests who are kings, a special nation, that you're set apart and God devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light, and now he claims you as his own. You were chosen right from the outset. And then he says this in Isaiah 61 verse 10. When we retort to God, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me with a robe of righteousness. You were never meant to wear a robe or a coat of bondage. You were meant to wear a robe of righteousness. You were meant to wear a robe of salvation. It's time to cast that coat off, to throw it aside. You don't need that coat anymore. You need the robe of righteousness. You need the robe of salvation, and it's available to you. But it starts with an act of faith that simply says, check your coat. Do you know when you go to the theater, if you've ever done this, and maybe it's a winter's evening, and you're carrying this big woolly coat, and the musicians can join me, and you're carrying this big warm coat, and you go to the cloakroom, and you check your coat at the door, and they give you a stub. They give you a stub that says, this is your opportunity to redeem your jacket at the end of the night. But see, when you come to Jesus, and you put your coat in the cloakroom, he gives you a stub for a new jacket. That stub is redeemable for a coat of righteousness. Because when you go back to the cloakroom, your coat's gone. It's been removed. God's got the new coat of righteousness ready for you. But it starts with that act of faith. It starts with that response that says, I don't need that anymore. I don't need the anxiety. I don't need the comfort. I don't need the convenience. You might be carrying other coats this morning. The coat of unforgiveness. But God, if I forgive them, that's going to hurt. It might do for a season, but Jesus is there to comfort you. The coat of doubt. I'm not certain where this is going to go, but God says, I know. I've got purpose and direction for you. What about the coat of grief? My Bible says that He gives you the oil of joy. He covers your grief with His joy. What about the coat of condemnation? But you don't know what I've done. I have to stay here. No, no, no. God says, I've got a coat of freedom for you. The coat of regret. We've all done things we regret, but we don't need to live there. We don't need to hold on to it. It's time to let go of the coats. It's time to check your coat at the door. I don't know what coat you're wearing, but I know that Jesus has on offer the coat of righteousness.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.